that Christ is sufficient for all of our needs. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 15 through 17 says, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one that we are, the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." There is no human being that can meet every need that you have in life. However, and I'm afraid that there are some people that put a lot of faith in somebody else to meet their need. Amen. They put a lot of faith in a person. And you find somebody and you think, man, this is a good friend or this is a good companion. And you put a lot of stock in that person. They do something that disappoints you. They do something that discourages you. They do something, some action happens or some issue takes place. And you realize the hard way that all that you needed was not in that person. Amen. They were a person, flesh and blood, just like you. But all you needed was in Christ. Amen. Because Jesus truly is all that you need. He is the adequate one. He is the all-sufficient Savior. He meets every need that we have in life. He meets our needs emotionally. Somebody say amen right there. He meets our needs financially. Throw an amen in that one right there too. He meets our needs spiritually. Amen. Matter of fact, He is the ultimate need meter when it comes to our spiritual need. Amen. He meets our needs physically. Thank God He cares about what happens to this body that we're in. Jesus is all that we stand in need of. In our text, it is just after Jesus feeding the 5,000, and many were there because of what Jesus could do for them. He preached a powerful message on what man could do for the Lord, rather on what the Lord could do for man, and many saw that it wasn't just about what they could get out of Jesus, and so they turned away. Jesus looked at those disciples there sitting with Him, at His 12, His core group, and He said, "Will ye also go away?" And old Simon Peter answered pretty good, didn't he? "Will you also go away?" Simon Peter, this is something that he got right. We give him a rough time, don't we, about how that he left the Lord and denied Christ and betrayed Christ. And we give old Simon Peter a hard time. But the Bible says this of all the disciples, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." Amen. It wasn't just Peter that ran away from the Lord, but old Peter got that part right when he was there in front of Jesus. He looked at him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter is saying to Jesus, "You are all I need today, Jesus. You are all I need right now, Lord. You are all that I'll ever need in life. You're all that I'll need tomorrow. You're all that I needed yesterday. You're all that I need right now. You are enough for what I'm in need of. Jesus is all you need." We need Jesus, number one, those of you taking notes, we need Jesus for forgiveness from the past. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. As we look over our past, we see sin after sin. We see guilt and shame. We see heartache. And I was thinking just this afternoon about something that happened. You know how your brain does? You get to studying the Bible and your brain will bring up something you did 15 years ago, 20 years ago that was wrong and ungodly, and you ought not have been participating in it. And old devil throw that up. I mean, right when you get to that good part, that good verse, you know, where something's about to click in your noggin, y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you know what I'm talking about anyway. And man, you think everything's going well and something will come up and that old thought will rear up in your mind and you'll remember what you used to do, what you used to be, how you used to act. Something like that will come up in your life. That heartache, that failure, that bad decision, that thing that you would do differently. And friend of mine, I cannot absolve that. I can't go back and do it over again. I can't replace it. I can't change it. but I can talk to the Lord about it and he can make everything right. Amen. I can go to Jesus and have this need of what my past sin has brought up in my life, and thank God he reminds me that that sin that I have, it's under the blood of the cross of Christ. Amen. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one, and so I need Jesus for forgiveness from the past. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every last one of us sitting in here, you think of the finest man or woman you know. You think of the greatest saint of God that you can come up with. And at their very best, they are nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. Amen. They are nothing greater than you. They are just somebody who realized in their sin they needed Jesus to forgive them. And he did. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse number 20 says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Galatians 3:22 said, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. While we have sin, while we all have sin, God looks down and sees the blood of Jesus that covers and washes away my sin. When I go to remembering what I've done, or when the old accuser of the brethren comes around, and if you've been saved any amount of time, you've been saved long enough to know that the accuser of the brethren will surface when you least expect it. Amen. How about while you're standing there in the middle of a witnessing session, while you're talking to somebody, or while you're standing in the church house and somebody come that knows something about your past? I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all think he's just a visitor or somebody that's singing in the choir, but his old boy been coming here on Sunday mornings. He's got some stories about your pastor. He can tell you things, kind of like y'all was talking about the other night. He's got some things that he can tell you about me that I just about pay him to keep quiet. Amen. But thank God, here's what he and I both know. We both need Jesus. Amen. We both didn't know what we was doing. We both didn't realize the impact of our wicked ways until later on in life. And when the accuser of the brethren comes along and says, I know what you were. I remember what you did. I saw you participate in that thing. I'm glad that the blood of Christ says, I've got it covered. Glory to God. I need Jesus for the forgiveness of all my past sins, just like you do too. Amen. While we all have this sin, the Lord sees the blood. He doesn't see what we see. He sees the blood. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He took his perfect, sinless blood and he applied it to a sinner's life. And he absolved, he got rid of all of my sin. Not just some of them, not just a few of them, not just a select number of them, but every single sin that I've had, they're under the blood. Glory to God. Thank the Lord that he's placed my sin under the blood. Praise God, my sin is gone. There underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Some of you ain't never heard that one. Maybe we need to start singing that one around here. Amen. It's in the book. Jesus is all you need. We need Jesus for strength and guidance in the here and now. Amen. Some go to fortune tellers for guidance. I had a cousin, I loved him dearly, and he passed away a few years ago. 5 years ago, July was 5 years ago. And I remember one time he and I were talking, and he told me, he said, I was watching TV the other night, and it was real late. And he said, this commercial come on, talking about that I could talk to somebody that I love that had gone on before. Now, I don't know if you know this, but if you got a pastor worth his salt, when he hears that sentence come out of anybody's mouth, he's going, red flag. Yeah, okay. Time out, in case you don't know. I never, ever, not under any circumstances, do I recommend you going to a necromancer. That is a witch. A necromancer is a witch that charms dead people. Oh, don't say that thing don't exist. Go on and read about old Saul and ask him who he called up. It was Samuel, the man of God. It's real. Just because you don't want to believe it doesn't mean that it's any less real. I never ever recommend that. He told me, he said, I believe that I could talk to this person. I said, oh no. No, we're going to stop right here. We're going to go to the Bible. Because what you're doing is dabbling in the wickedness. That the devil says, well, let me go get somebody. Y'all okay? That's not of God. And so I remember having that conversation with him, and I looked at him and I told him, man, you can get the guidance that you're looking for from the Bible, from the Word of God. Some go to fortune tellers or psychics, so-called psychics, for guidance. Some go turn to witchcraft, unfortunately, for guidance. That's what Saul did. So it's not that far removed from the Word of God. And I would like to say this tonight, if you are dabbling in that stuff, or you are reaching out because you're desperate, I want to encourage you to step away and get as far away from that as you possibly can. Open up your Bible and ask God to help you get through what you're going through. Amen. We need Him for strength and guidance in the present. Some write to newspaper columnists. Some get on websites and in certain forums and try and find what they're looking for. Some consult their friends who give terrible advice. Some go to a friend and it turns into something a whole lot more than a friendship. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Y'all okay? All because they're looking for guidance or help or relief for a season. But you don't find that in the world. You find it in the Lord. Amen. We need Him for guidance to help us. Jesus is the only certain place to get help from each and every day. Psalm 20 and verse number 7 said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Lamentations 3, 21 through 23, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. If you messing with that stuff, you dealing with a psychic or a medium or a tarot card reader, you're not going to find any peace in that. Amen. Let me tell you something. The devil, he knows enough about your life to make you think that person cares about you. Please heed my words, church. The devil knows enough about you where he can make something that you don't think anybody else knows about come to light in an area that is just enough to convince you. Don't fall for that snare of the devil. Don't go in your desperation seeking something don't have more faith in the ungodliness of the world than you do in the Bible. That's what it boils down to. Is that you would have more faith in something you can see and touch. That's not faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of God. Even though we do not see Him, our faith is evidence that He's moving in our life. It is the substance, it is what we can touch of things that are not seen. I feel like I've struck a chord here tonight. And I hope I have. I hope that I can pull you out of making a bad decision, or maybe somebody watching online, we can pull them out of a bad decision of going after that junk of the world that the devil has promoted and tells people. And by the way, let me tell you this, it's free from the Word of God. You ain't got to pay $1.99 a minute. Isn't that something? You can open up that Bible that you got at home, or that phone that you're already paying for. You can open up a program that's got the Word of God in it. Or you can get a hold of your pastor and he'll give you a Bible for free. And you can open up the Word of God and get the help you stand in need of.
Amen.
Get the Word of God inside you. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. And the reason we will remember the name of the Lord is because His compassions fail not and they are new every morning, because God is faithful. Great is His faithfulness. Psalm 46 in verse number 1, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Psalm 142 in verse number 5, I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. The safest place you can get is under the Lord's wings. There was a passage where Jesus stood at Jerusalem and He looked out over Jerusalem. He said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered thee under my wings as a hen doth her brood. But you would not. I don't want to be preaching to a bunch of would nots. Get up under the wings of the Lord and let Him be the pavilion and the protection. I like that. Proverbs 18:1, the righteous runneth into it and is safe. We got them little old hens. Man, ever hear, we call her Mama Hen. And Mama Hen, she's gotten broody for the last 3 years, I believe. She's gotten broody, and she's the first one to get broody. And then there's some others, they're just fake broody. They're just broody because she's broody. But Mama Hen, she's broody, and she's serious about being broody. And she will bite the fire out of you if you go to messing with them eggs, man. She's serious about them chicks. And when them chicks get born, when they hatch, she turns into Super Mama Hen. And man, she keeps them close. And I'm telling you, she'll take them out when they get ready to venture out. She will take them little chicks out and they'll go just out into the coop. And man, when trouble comes, because I don't know if you know this about chickens or not, but they establish what's called a pecking order. And that means they're going to peck them little things to death if they don't listen to what they want and do how they want and act how they want. And so them little hens will run to mama. And them other chickens and other hens come running up to Mama Hen, and Mama Hen bows up like a rooster. She ain't a rooster, but she thinks she is. And she bows up, and she dares them other girls to touch them babies. And she looks at that rooster who's supposed to be the protector like, if you don't do something, I'm fixing to get you too. And she will. She'll charge him too. Boy, she's serious about taking care of them babies. But them little old chicks that don't know nothing, they don't understand anything about life, they don't know that there's a pecking order, but they know that there's safety when they run up under mama's wings. They know that there's help when they run up to mama. They know that there's security when they run up to mama. They know that there's trustworthiness when they run up to mama. Christian friend of mine, it'd be good for you and I to be like a little chick and just decide that we're going to run to the Lord's wings whenever we need something for guidance or help in our daily life. Hebrews 6, verse number 18, the Bible says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. And then Psalm 145 and verse number 18, the Bible says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all them that call upon him in truth. Thank God he is ever with us. Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. I got one more point. And I don't know who it was, but somebody said go ahead earlier, so I am. We need hope for the future. Here's what our future contains that we know. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Barring the rapture of the church, we will all face death. Lest the Lord should return. I realize that. I understand that. But unless the Lord returns, and that'd be fine with me if he come right now, we will all taste and feel and see and experience death's chilly hand. And as it is appointed unto man, you've already got an appointment set. You don't know when it is. But God knows when it is. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Those are stout words, aren't they? Now, if I were to stand before God in my own ability, I would burn for eternity. But I will not stand before God in my own ability. And on my own power and in my own might, I will stand there because of the blood of Christ. And I need hope for the future. I need hope from what I will face one day. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. But it's not all just here. There's more to come. One writer recently penned the words, all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. I say amen. Ephesians 1:12-13, the Bible says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I'm glad that he put a seal on me. I'm glad I went. Amen. Y'all know, you ever canned anything? You get them cans sitting there, you set them out there on the counter, you waiting on them, and it won't be long, you'll hear them. Amen? I'm glad I went ping. I'm glad I got sealed up. And them things are sealed. Brother Lane and Miss Sharon give us some stuff, and that stuff is sealed, and it's in our pantry. And I like going in there. I think about that all the time, about how I'm sealed. And the Bible says I'm sealed until the day of redemption. See, there comes a time when I get to desiring some fig preserves, and that's the day of redemption at my house. Or maybe there's some pear preserves in there. All I know is they taste good on a hot biscuit. Somebody say amen right there. And I go in that pantry, and I go through the stuff that we got, and I find the one that says fig. And most of the time, they don't make it but about a year. I might have one or two in there that I've missed from that say fig 24 on it. But all of them's pretty much fig 25 or pear 25. Y'all okay? Because 26 ain't happened yet. It's coming. It's in the works, I'd say. And I go in there and I grab that thing and I open it up. And then I enjoy it in my time. God set a seal on you. And there's going to come a day where he's going to get you. And he's going to break the seal over yonder. Amen. And he's going to use you for his purposes and his enjoyment. Because that's what it's all about. You're sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. My hope is in Christ Jesus, because Jesus is all I need. Would y'all come get us a song of invitation? Father, in your blessed Holy Son's name, the lovely name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to help your people. Help us to realize, Lord, that you are all we need. We don't need anything from the world. We don't need anything from the outside sources. We have no spiritual needs in the world that are met. But God, you meet our spiritual needs in the Bible. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember and realize that you are what we need. Thank you for sending what we need tonight. Thank you for giving us what we stood in need of. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Would you stand with us while we sing?